And we're back for another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. Bro, we got some special shit to talk about.
Hell yes, dude. One of my favorite subjects, of course, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. I always end up talking about them. But these two guys we're about to bring up are the Jalen Williamses of the team, guys.
Yeah.
These guys are amazing, and they make me so incredibly excited that we get to watch them for a very, very long time.
J-Will, J-Dub, one from Santa Clara, one from Arkansas. Let's talk about J-Will from Arkansas first, because he seems to be the one that gets overlooked a little bit more. But trust us, this is just a short-time thing, because as a rookie, he's leading the league in charges, and he's shooting over 40% from deep, Dave. I mean, what else do you want from this guy?
Yeah, he's definitely earned his starting position, and it makes you kind of scratch your head at what Coach D and Sam Presti have in store for him and in mind for him. Because if he's getting these minutes right here at that starting center position, then obviously we know that he's going to be that backup center for Chet at this moment. He's earned those minutes. Obviously, JRE's on that list as well, and he's been fighting a pretty good injury and getting back healthy. But really, J-Will, this is his position right now. And the way that he's able to take charges and make teams, like, literally think twice before coming in the lane. And he doesn't just do it off of a guy coming down the lane to go jump over him or go through him. He does it off the pass as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll see refs, they'll lose sight of where J-Will is until you hear, "Oh," and his head goes flying back with that hair. And he hits the floor, and the ref's reaction, because it's so instant, and they know his reputation now, it's automatic the other way. And I just absolutely love the way that he's able to step up and recognize that. And like, he doesn't need long for getting, you know, set in stone. And I think that's what's so crazy about it, is that you see him and he gets underneath that position, and nobody's like, "No, he can't make it there. He can't make it there." And then he does get there, and how that completely changes the defense is truly spectacular, because you're seeing guys get in foul trouble that are going down the lane because they have to go up against J-Will or Isaiah Joe or, you know, Kenny Hustle. And they're getting fouls called, offensive fouls called, and it's going the other way. J-Will is going to continue doing this, and he's going to get better at doing this. And when he's able to, you know, completely change the game, you have guys coming down the lane, and they see J-Will, right? And they're like, "Oh, crap, I can't do that." They dead leg it, right, like they always do with him, trying to get around him, and they don't get far off the ground. And who is going to be there to block their shot? Poku? Chet? I mean, we got so many guys that will be there just blocking their shit away. And that's why it's so important and valuable having somebody like that who changes the defense scheme for, you know, how teams have to go out there in offense and play. Because if you know that you're going down the lane, you're going to run into Kenny or you're running into J-Will, it's going to change everything.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, Poku's back playing in the G League. I think there were moments in the game against the Raptors where we could have used him. We went and played a lot of Olivier Sarr minutes, and I thought he played well. But you put Poku in there, and I feel like that we would have seen the ball moving at a different level, more perimeter attacks, and that defensive element that you were talking about right there. J-Will brings a lot to us. We always say it, man. You need role players to be stars in
their
role.
He's got that heart. Right. He's got that heart. Right. And he got that smile. He's got that way of making people feel like they're right there with him, even though, you know, you're across the entire universe.
Right.
And he's right there, and you feel like you're right next to him.
Right, and he competes. He just wants to be out there playing. He loves playing hard. We've been getting him a lot of early looks, like the first shot of the game, second three-pointer of the game kind of thing. But then after that, he kind of doesn't really need to get a lot of touches to be involved the whole game. And that's a testament to the type of role player he is. It's something that we need more of. And it's one of those elements when we look at the depth of this team and we compare it to previous versions of the Thunder, we get really excited because we lacked these types of players. And J-Will is a big, crucial piece of this.
Yeah, and if you think about what Mark and I have talked about, that star mentality and the reserve role. But the guys that are willing to be stars in these, like, I call them the Wiggins positions or the Kenny Hustle positions. Like, they're not going to go out there and score 20 points, but what they're going to do is they're going to change the landscape of the game on defense and be able to hit the shots when they're open. That's all we need. You know, we need these guys that are willing to do whatever it takes and hustle and put it all out there on the floor. And that's why I get excited about this team, because you look at J-Will and you're saying, okay, where can this young man go? How far can this young man go? And you look at these other guys that have been, you know, incredible game changers on defense, man, that really changed the landscape of the game on defense, and he's one of those guys. Like, the fact is that he's already the most elite charge taker in the league right now. And he's only played in, what, 50 games, 45 games, and averaging, like, 17 minutes a game, 16 minutes a game. Like, think about that, guys. Like, he's not even playing 30 minutes a game, and he leads the league in charges, where the rest of the guys are playing those 30 minutes a game.
Yo, and it's time to say it, bro. He is the greatest charge taker in the history of the NBA. And a lot of people are like, whoa, he hasn't done enough. But look at he's averaging per game. Look at the fact that he's a rookie, and he's already moved to number one.
So my question to you is, what's more valuable, somebody that blocks shots or somebody that can take charges?
It's obvious, bro. It's about taking charges.
Like, so then, look, then why, look, then honestly, why is this not something that's more valuable? That,
I was hesitant on the answer. Like, you told me on it, dude. It's because you get the ball side out. It's more demoralizing, and you add a foul to the other team's probably best player, at least one of their guys who's attacking downhill. Those are all critical things. It changes the momentum of a game. A blocked shot can also result in 2 points for the same team that you block their shots, dude. So what were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, I'm echoing that. Yeah, like if you're able to get the ball on the sideline or on the baseline because you took a charge instead of a blocked shot, you're leaving the ability to hit a three-point shot or hit a two-point shot off of the, you know, because everybody collapses. When a guy comes down the lane, everybody collapses. So you're always leaving your three-point line open. So if a block shot comes in, you're, you know what, 6% chance that it's going to go to the three-point line, and the three-point guy wide open, going to hit that shot. So to me, like, this is why it's so important to have these. And yes, it's going to be important to have Chet that can block those shots, right? But let's just say that Jay Will ends up playing 20 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, guys, right? He's going to average 2+ offensive charge taken a game. And I look at that and I say, is that more valuable than Chet, who's going to probably average 3 to 5, you know, blocks a game? Like, which is more valuable? And the crazy thing about it is that I think they're both incredibly impactful and both incredibly valuable. So if you combine them, right, like we are because we're on the same team, if you combine them, that's what makes it so disgustingly filthy, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's what everybody just stops and has to say, oh, thinking about that.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, you get to decide death by Jay Will or death by Chet or Poku. You know, like, you don't, there's no choice in that.
Yeah. You get funneled into it and you end up reacting. And that's, you know, that's what we're set up for.
That's right. Think about it. Our offense, our defense, whether we're in the matchup man or we're in the zone defense, right? The matchup zone. Like, it's all designed to get the guys in the lane. That's it.
Yeah.
Because if we can get the guys in the lane to make rash decisions, like, we don't want them to get in the lane. We want them to get to the point where they're almost in the lane, right?
Yeah.
But we collapse so well and we cut that those lanes off so well. The passing lanes get cut off. Like, it makes it a death trap when they go in there.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody takes charge like Jay Will or somebody like block shots like Chet or Poku, man. Like, look at Poku average, like, what, 2 blocks a game?
Yeah.
And I would consider Chet a much better block shot blocker than Poku. Maybe not much better, but a better shot blocker at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be insane, man.
Yeah, dude, it's easy to get pumped up about this. And then we switch over to talk about J-Dub. And J-Dub is now getting a ton of attention. Sam Vecenie's calling him an absolute star. We're seeing elements of his game, though, that really resonate. Like, there's a star and upper potential. But there's also this fact that he knows how to play within offense. He knows how to play defense at a high level. And he knows, like, how to keep the ball moving. And then when it's his time to go out and get his, he knows how to put the defender where he wants him. So he's got star potential, but he knows how to be a teammate and he knows how to defend. That's a really rare combination. I'll let you talk about it, then I'll give some numbers.
Yeah, like, let's first back up and talk about the alleged story that happened here. So back in 2022, 2021, depending on how you want to look at it, Sam Presti got lost in the woods, guys. All right, when he got lost in the woods, he had this dream, okay? In the dream, he had this very powerful man, okay? We'll say very powerful man say, when you get to the draft, you will draft Jalen Williams. And Sam Presti goes, hell yeah. I know who I'm drafting this year, right, guys? I'm so pumped. And then he gets to the draft board and he realizes there's 2 Jalen Williams. And he's like, shit, what am I going to do now? The only thing I know what to do, draft them both. What happened was Sam Presti now has both Jalen Williamses, and both of them are so impactful. But you're right, man. J-Dub is a superstar in the making. What he's done in the last 14 games is beyond anything. And not only that, but he is putting up numbers that are truly spectacular, like 800 points, 800, I don't even know, yeah. 600 rebounds. What is it?
Yeah, bro, you're right on there. 800 points, 200 assists, 200 rebounds, and 80 steals. He's the only rookie with that stat line right there. But this is the one that really is mind-blowing, bro. Over a 14-game time span, minimum of 20 points scored by a rookie, Jalen Williams has the best true shooting percentages since Shaq when he was a rookie at 66.6%.
But you have to understand, J-Dub is a guard, guys. Yeah, you guys need to understand this, okay? I know they list him as a forward, but he is 6'5", 6'6", guys, right? He is a guard.
He's a guard.
And he's shooting 66% in the lane against big fucking bodies, guys.
That's like, not just the lane, bro. That's across like the whole true shooting percentage across all games. You're right, and even without that, I think he is shooting that high in the lane, and his 3-point shot is coming along. His ability to attack off the dribble, and then going back to what I started with, which is his understanding of how to play within an offense and how to do what really. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was one of the first players that I saw that just jumped off the charts. His ability to play within this new style of offense, and then also know how to like go out of his way to go get his in the late shot clock situations. He didn't do it a ton, right? But when he did, it was always impactful with the Clippers. Then Jalen Williams comes along and he has that same sense of like identity within the offense. But then on top of that, he's got year three Shai one-on-one game. Maybe even a little bit better ISO game than Shai. Shai can get into the paint and finish in traffic, I would say, at a higher level. J-Dub can finish over the top at a higher level. And you kind of go back and forth and you're like, they are different players, but from a skill level, they're not as far apart as you would think considering the difference of time in the NBA.
Yeah, and I look at the way that J-Dub is able to understand the way to play defense, man. Okay, you know, last episode I pissed some people off and I said that I felt like Shai was having a better statistical year, or maybe I don't think I said statistical, I think I just said better year in defense than Dort. Yeah. And the reason is because we're playing more of a team defense, guys, right? And you look at the team defense and the way that we play this zone or matchup man that switches up everything and all this other stuff, or non-switches, like we do crazy things out there, right? And if you're looking at Dort, he is one of the best isolated defenders in the league. So when we're playing against somebody like Damian Lillard or somebody like LeBron James, it's all about the ISO game, right? We want Dort out there playing that, right? But if we're playing a team defense, we want J-Dub playing their best defender, because we know that J-Dub is going to be that physical contact right away. We know that J-Dub's feet is going to be all right and get in front of that person and slow him down. So to me, like, and if you're looking at the team defensive aspect,
as you're saying, it's the help side defense when the ball is moving from side to side. It's getting those skip passes, picking
them
right out.
You saw a couple nights ago where Dort got those skip passes and got a couple steals off of them. You know, like, he's learning.
That's J-Dub and Shai. Like, that's their forte. That's where they go.
And that's why it fits in this team defense so well.
Right.
And it's not about saying, you know, Dort is a worse defender. It's not about that. It's about Dort being one of the best isolated defenders in the league. If you have got to go one-on-one, you want Dort playing that one-on-one aspect for you. But if you're playing that drop back defense and that help defense, then it's J-Dub and Shai. You need those guys with the long arms that make the difference. And that's why their stats look so sexy comparatively to Dort's. Because Dort does all the hard work on the offside that nobody sees, whereas all these other guys get the benefits. So, again, it's just about a different way of looking at it. And I look at the way that J-Dub plays that defense and that lockdown zone defense when he's playing in that left wing or right wing, depending on where he's at. But, man, it's so sexy because he slips behind everybody. And then the ball goes, you know, the skip pass. Or, I mean, it doesn't even need to be a skip pass. It needs to be a lazy pass and he's gone. I mean, we saw the breakaway that he had the other day, bro. Like, he is so elite when he gets on that fast break. He doesn't get there a lot, but man, when we put that pressure up there and we get Shai up there and we get Josh Giddey and we get Dort and we get all these guys just mixing in and out up at that top of the key, bro, it is so difficult and it makes teams really, really second think, or you know, stop and pause and say, do we really want to go down this lane? Because the second we go down, it's like one of those, you know, finger trap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You start going down it, and then you start trying to pull it away real fast, and then you're stuck. I mean, you got nothing you can do right there. And that's what our defense is designed, is the second they get stuck in there, they can't get their fingers out, and we get the ball and go the other way.
It's a funnel, baby. That's what we love, dude. We appreciate you guys joining us, and we will see you next time.